we fought together the priests of this mission.
Yeah. Pedro!
Pedro!
We crushed the Federales in the plains of Oaxaca. Yeah.
Pedro!
Pedro.
Jose!
Together we
burned the village!
Burned the village!
Raped the horses!
Raped the horses!
And we
rode off on the women!
Rode off on the women! And
we plundered!
Plundered! And
pruned!
Pruned the
hedges!
Hedges!
Of many small villages!
Of many small villages!
Who the hell are you?
Another one of the damn gringos!
We are back for another week of SVS Fishing. What's happened, Mark?
Same old.
Same old, same
another
old.
Another couple days later.
Heck yeah, man.
What's new with you?
Nothing. Hey, when we release this, it's going to be Happy Father's Day to everyone out there listening.
Happy Father's Day.
So we want to thank all the dads out there. And I know we're going to be busy. That's why we're doing a midweeker recording.
Yep. Yeah, probably not fair to the guests either. Take them away and have them, you know.
Have them take away from their family time.
Everybody enjoy it. Have fun. Be safe.
And go catch a fish.
Yeah. Perfect day for it. So hopefully if we have some weather, we'll see. I mean, this has been nuts.
I know.
You get 2-3 good days and then it's not even just a little bit of rain. We're going to get hammered with storms again, one after another after another.
Well, we're supposed to get thunderstorms this evening, correct?
Mm-hmm. Guess it's supposed to start raining early and then after that turn into storms for a good part of the day. And the way they've been coming lately, it's just, they're inch and a half at a time. It's just blowing nothing but mud. The ground can't take anymore. Everything's just running straight off.
Yeah, everything's super saturated.
Yeah, I mean, I know our lake's at, 4 or 5 foot?
Every bit of. The river is smoking high.
Yeah, everything's pumping. I mean, they got almost all the launches shut down. There's only a couple open launches.
Yeah, just the two main ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
My buddy he said, I'm working at that place where you catch the carp. I'm looking at like 15 of them right now. They're huge. I said, that's great. There's no way to get to them.
No. Not right now.
No, because you drowned if you tried to go where we normally do.
That's impressive. They're still hanging out right there.
Yeah.
It's all pushing a lot of water. If I figured they'd go found a back eddy and kind of just hid some.
Well, if you kind of think about it, right underneath there, that's a current break.
Okay.
So, and then when they throw bread down, it's time to attack.
Yep. Easy food. They ain't going to leave it.
But tonight's show brought to you by Predator Fly Gear. Check them out at predatorflygear.com.
Yep. A-Rex hooks. Anything you're looking, any fish, that's the way to go.
Alsdorf Genetic. If you want some of Joel's feathers, go hit them up at urbanflycompany.com.
Yeah. Been a busy day, and Joel tried calling. I talked to him, so I think that's probably looking. Next batch is going to be coming through. So I'm going to talk to him here soon and see what we got going on, but we'll have a whole new run of Alsdorf feathers. Also brought to you by Why Not Fishing. Check out the Dock app.
And SimsFishing.com. Mm-hmm. Hey, that speaks for itself. we do have a guest this evening. If anyone is interested in fly fishing art, I'm sure they've heard of Derek D. Young. And tonight we get to talk to him. So I hope you guys are ready for it, because we sure are.
Yeah, it's been fun hearing about salt water, and this is going to be, again, just another angle of it.
Yeah, he's like, he's a snowbird, so he does a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a good time. Looking forward to this one.
So, I say we take a break and call Jason and harass him and see where the hell he is. And
where is he at?
And then we'll come back with D. Young.
Be so, right there. This was at 6:10, so.
Okay.
He's probably going to be here in a minute.
We should call him on air. We'll give Jay a call, see what's happening, see where he is. So, you were burying some electric wire for your chickens, you'd said.
Buying, not burying quite yet. Burying tomorrow night.
Ah.
Yeah, so I got the chickens outside now. Our future feather game changers.
Are they going to be full-time outside?
Yeah. Yeah, I got the coop out, fence around them, and then I'll just look the electric fence around, keep the raccoons out, and then do a netting over the top, because I live right on a field, so there's always hawks.
Yep.
Only a matter of time one of them's going to come and whack one, but yeah, got a little mixture. Got two black, three all white, because the one all white was supposed to be. Now it's all brown. And then there's some, not grizzly, but they're black with like a white through the center. They'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty birds.
Mm-hmm. Pretty bird.
Pretty bird. Pretty bird. Let's see if he answers.
Oh, I know.
What?
I'm just turning down your road.
Oh, he's going to ignore us. He's giving us a cold shoulder.
He's ignoring.
Oh, come on, Jay. You know you want to.
Nope.
That's a negative. Okay.
And then I figure with this one, just keep working and building them up and get everything set the way that I want it. So we start getting in some, ordering in some better birds. I'm not worried about them getting killed.
Yep, exactly. Do the trial and error on the low quality.
Mm-hmm. Excited for the eggs, though.
Oh, yeah. When do they start laying?
Usually, I think it's like 7 to 10 months, give or take. 7, 8 months, usually.
So you're thinking like January-ish?
Give or take towards the end, yeah, towards, yeah, November.
Okay. Good.
I don't know, though. That's just from what I'm told. We're going to find out. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know it's going to take all of it.
So, hey, on that note, let's take a break, and then we will come back with Mr. Derek D. Young. And we are back with Derek D. Young. What's happening, Derek? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, it's a great night. It's always a great night.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking over Traverse Bay. It's all fogged in. Had a rainstorm today, but I was actually out there chasing some carp during torrential downpours. It was a pretty interesting atmosphere to fish in.
So how does that affect your viz?
Well, I think it goes both ways. I have a hard time seeing the fish, but they don't see my boat as well either. So a lot of short casts and not giving up on fish, even though you think there's no way they don't know I'm here, but then they bite. So they must, the raindrops must distract them a little bit.
So in the big open water like that, what are you throwing? Like what's your go-to carp fly?
I couldn't even tell you what it's called. I went in the Northern Angler here in Traverse City and just said, fix me a box of what works. And what they put in there is like different crayfish and just kind of little buggy looking things, but of different sizes and different weights. So if I'm, the water's way up this year. So I chose a crayfish with pretty big lead eyes on it. And that seemed to get it done.
That seems like our go-to around here, around this area as well.
Just heavy, yeah, I mean,
heavy-ass crayfish.
With, with the carp, you're sight casting to them, and you've really got to get it within a foot, foot and a half of their face, and they're looking like to feed on something on the bottom. So you got to get right down there. The trick is not splashing it in there, like throwing a softball on their head. And that's taken me a while to kind of perfect that cast.
Is that a cast that you've acquired in your saltwater activities?
You know, I would say definitely saltwater fishing makes you work on those skills for sure. This year down in Big Pine Key, it seems like the last few years, the bone fishing has gotten better and better. They're kind of just, the populations are coming back. I don't even know if you're aware that they were way down, to the point where no one even chased them anymore. And the redfish really kind of took their place. Well, in the last couple of years, now there's pretty good populations of both. And I just am not a bone fisherman. I just never got into it. So this year I was like, I really want to make time and just, you know, when you pick up something new like that, it's hours of searching water that you're not really sure if that's where they're going to be. And there's, you know, there's always so many other things you could be doing and catching. It's hard to just go hours, you know, and not seeing anything. But eventually I found, you know, several different schools and started to get into the bonefish. And that's a riot, but there's a, you know, usually pretty big groups of them and they're pretty forgiving. If you get the fly in there and get it moving, they're on it.
So are you originally from the north or the south?
Originally from Michigan, Grand Haven, right out on the lake shore of Lake Michigan, and grew up doing like the warm water fishing in the river and bayous there.
And you migrate every year down to Florida?
That's right. You know, when I was in art school, I went and fished out of Marathon Key, Florida, in the Florida Keys, and my roommate's aunt and uncle lived there. They had a like 14-foot little fiberglass skiff with like a 30-horse motor, and they're like, it's yours, you guys do what you want. And we had so much fun, and you know, it just blew my mind how much water was there, and it was just endless flats and islands and places to explore. And after that trip, I really said, someday I'm going to live here, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And as I built my business with my wife, Janelle, I always said, like, someday we're going to, like, winter down there. And the year that she kind of transitioned from the corporate America thing to running our businesses with me, year number one, we went on VRBO and booked a house and went down and did it and leased a boat, and we've done it every year since. It's a real adventure.
So what you're saying is you're the world's youngest snowbird.
Most of my best friends are in their 70s and 80s. Yes.
That's awesome.
So how was the transition from freshwater to salt when you just, you know, got started off in it?
It's super humbling. I mean, it is a completely different deal. And what you figure out over time is saltwater, there's so many different things that could happen, different fish you might run into. And once you kind of know, you know, what might happen, you just have to get a fly or a lure in the right spot, and you're probably going to hook up. Whereas like in freshwater, you know, if you're carp fishing, you're going to see probably one of two things, a smallmouth bass or a carp. You know what I mean? It's not going to be 10 different species. You're not going to have a big busting school of Jack Crevel or bluefish or, you know, a huge cobia swim by the boat, which could happen, you know, any day in the Keys.
So have you hooked a cobia on the fly? I caught my first one last summer, but it was on spinning gear.
I've absolutely wanted to, and it's on my bucket list. I've hooked three or four cobia, and I have not gotten one. Like, I've got them to the side of the boat, every time, but they just go ballistics. You know, they don't just like chill out by the side of the boat the way some fish do. And I've lost every one at the side of the boat. Like, all I wanted to do was just get a picture of it. I wasn't even going to keep it.
Oh, we were definitely going to keep. I had a one that had to have been 50 inches on.
Oh, my gosh.
I had it to the boat three times. The guy with the net missed it twice, and they tried gaffing it, and it got off at the boat. He would have definitely been steaks.
Yeah, they are good eating it. Not many of them go back.
So do you want to touch on the art side a little bit? And they said, like, you'd done school down south. I mean, where did the inspiration come to start with doing the fish?
Well, I actually went to school in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We just did a trip down to the Keys on spring break. But
okay, gotcha.
You know, I'm kind of the one-trick pony. I've been drawing and painting fish since I was a little kid. That's just what I've absolutely loved fishing when I was a little kid. We grew up on Millhouse Bayou, a little bayou that feeds into the Grand River, which is Michigan's biggest river. If you picture kind of a miniature Mississippi River, that's about what it looked like. And I would just wade around the bayou catching bass and bluegills, and they had dogfish and northern pike. And when I went to get my drawing stuff out, that's what I wanted to draw, was, you know, what I imagined was out there, you know. I think that fishing tapped into my imagination at a young age, and then it kind of transferred into what I wanted to do with my art. And, you know, did that all the way through high school, would enter little competitions and stuff. As a little fourth grader, I got second in the state in a wildlife art competition with a largemouth bass that I painted. And I pretty much thought I was due for very big things at that point.
So did you also develop like a love for photography too, or is it all just memory you're relating back on?
Yeah, I've loved photography. I mean, anything creative. You know, these days it's mostly an iPhone in my pocket that I'm constantly pulling out and firing off pictures. But, you know, when I was 16, I got my first SLR camera and took photography in art school as well. And I've always loved that side of it too. But as far as how it transitions into my actual designs and paintings, you know, photos are super important and helpful to get, you know, proportions correct and, you know, just make sure things are right. But at the same time, I really try to limit that so that kind of my own voice and my own vision can come forth. If I rely too much on reference, then it kind of aligns me with what, you know, anyone else looking at those same references might do. So that's kind of a big part of what I do, is, you know, try to make sure that every painting that comes out of my studio is kind of my vision, not like a replication of any photo I took or someone else's photo.
So you've done nothing but talk to us about warm water fishing. And then if we scroll through Derek DeYoung, and it's 50-50 tarpon and trout and not a lot of smallmouth and carp. Where did trout fall into your love affair with the fish?
Well, I think it started early just seeing, you know, fly fishing TV shows when I was a kid. And I wasn't in a trout area of Michigan, although there's some great ones. And so that, like, trout just had this, you know, mystique to it. And when I eventually was able to go and steelhead and trout fish, and then I moved to Montana after art school and lived out there for about a decade. That's what I wanted to do, was catch brown trout. I mean, I love their attitude, but even more than that, I love, you know, a big developed colored up brown trout. That it just gets no better.
Well, and speaking of the brown trout, you kind of have your own style you've developed that sets you apart. Was there something that, like, clicked with that, or what?
You know, I'd like to say that I just had a vision and just followed it to what you see today, but I've painted so many brown trout, and I'm sure I've done it every wrong way. But I do try very hard to pay attention to what looks good, what works, and, you know, keep those things in my toolbox. And, you know, as I, you know, do new paintings, I can draw back on those experiences. So I've been painting brown trout for a while. And, you know, these days, I feel like there's a lot of great artists in this genre. And I kind of think that for me in my work, the best thing I can do is paint what I'm super passionate and familiar with. And so I try to, like, you know, focus pretty hard on two species above all else, and that's tarpon and brown trout. And that's not saying I don't do other things, but I really like to kind of fall back as that being what, if I have an idea for a new painting, usually the subject's going to be one of those two things.
And you like painting tarpon and brown trout so much, you painted a brown trout on a tarpon?
That's right.
That's a great right. idea.
yeah, and that is one of those crazy things that somehow connects with people. And I never even thought I'd sell the first one, and here I am. I'm probably on the 10th one. So people dig that stuff, and they look awesome in shops. So you know, a lot of my friends who own shops like to buy them to put in there. So and they're a lot of fun to paint. For me, the worst day of work, you know, as far as art, is if I'm bored. And these are definitely not boring. They're fun, and they can look different every time, and we end up doing different sizes. I'm about to do a 84-incher. So that'll be the biggest one that I've done so far.
How long something like that take you?
You know, start to finish, it's usually a couple of weeks. Not that it's a 8-hour day every day on that, but definitely plug away at it. And there's some prep work, and then you gotta, get it back in that giant crate and ready for freight to take it to its home. So there's nothing totally easy about them, but they're fun.
So when you do that, are people getting replicas of, like, say, a tarpon that they caught and then having you paint a brown trout on it, or are they just standard molds?
I don't really think that the people who are buying these from me are buying them with that in mind. I think it's more an art piece. So I don't think it size more so depends upon the space they want to hang it in, and not so much about what they caught. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. Cause I've never caught a tarpon. And I dig those the best.
Yes. Well, there's a reason for that. Have you gotten a chance to chase them?
Not yet. Next month I'm going to Daytona. So hopefully I'll be able to figure something out there.
Well, the thing that I've noticed with people who are just totally enthused to get out and chase tarpon is you have to go out there and just fail a bunch and really kind of take that holy grail off it and just get down to, like, all right, here it is. And, you know, these simple things that you got to do, and then you start catching them. I mean, for me, that's the way it was. And I've watched my friends go through that same thing, and you just have to, like, get your first one and get, you know, get it off your plate so that you can get down to business and really start fishing them.
Sounds a lot like musky fishing.
Exactly. It's just like that. You want it so bad that it can really almost, you know, every time something goes wrong, you're just so deflated. I'm just like, hey, you know, pull your line back in. There's one out there with your name on it. Let's keep going. No problem. It won't be the only one we see.
Do you get to do some musky fishing?
That's not often, but it's one of those things that whenever I get a chance, and this is just a complete by accident thing, but I ended up catching the state record tiger muskie in Montana when I lived there.
You have a horse that shows up your ass, don't you?
Well, you know, maybe. This was I kept reading in the Billings Gazette that the record was, you know, broken, and then someone else broke it, and it was a specific reservoir where they had stocked them. And I'm like, shoot, I'll drive 3 hours up there to try it. And so we went up there, and I was fishing with my dad, and we didn't get a single follow. And he's like, let's pull the boat and go trout fishing. Well, I didn't come to Montana to go musky fishing. I'm like, well, listen, give me a shot at it. So we went around and kind of did the same shoreline again. And the second bay in, I hooked up and fought this thing. I mean, it's like 50 feet of water, and this thing went right to the bottom. So I'm not sure if that's normal for them, but we finally pried him up to the surface, and it was like a couple schoolgirls screaming when we saw him. And we decided that we weren't going to kill him and bring him in for the record. It just felt like he had to go back. And we released him, and he like swam out and then just turned around and beached himself. And he did that like a couple times. I don't know, like, the fight wasn't that long. He wasn't beat up. I barely had him hooked in the lip. I don't know why he wasn't reviving. And so I like wrestled my boga grip over the edge of his jaw and tied him to a cleat. And I'm like, I'm just going to drag him under the boat for the rest of the time we fish this shore. And if he lives, he gets to go back. And if he looks like he's dying, I'll take him in and actually officially get the record. And about 15 minutes later, I thought I felt a bump on I was fishing just like a musky killer spinner on conventional gear, and made a bunch of casts, didn't see anything more. And I looked down and I'm like, oh, my fish is in great shape. He's sitting right alongside the boat. And I'm like, he's not near as big as he looked when I, you know, landed him and measured him. And all of a sudden, out from under the boat comes mine, and, you know, a free swimming fish had followed my bait in and was sitting there looking at like old grandpa under the boat going, what are you doing? What's that on your lip? They sat side by side right next to the boat, and then the other one kind of left, and I unhooked the one that was on the boga and just sent him after him. So hopefully someone else got the joy of catching him.
So what were some measurements of it?
Let's see. I think it was 52 inches, and previous record was 48. In the estimation on weight, I didn't even think to try to weigh him, but it wouldn't have mattered because my boga grip was a 20-pound boga grip. And they think it was around 34, 35 pounds.
That's a stud for sure.
It was, yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe when it happened. It was just the sun and moon were lined up for me that day.
So other fish with teeth we haven't touched on yet. You get to fish for cuda.
One of my absolute favorites.
What's that like?
They're just such a cool predator. And the best thing about them is that you can sight fish them. My favorite is to go at like high tide when I can go right up close to islands, and they'll just be sitting there like in like a little sand patch or next to anything that they can kind of break up their shape. So you can actually cast a fly to them, which is so challenging. Fly fishing for cuda in the Keys, it's a riot. It's one of my favorite things to do, but very humbling because it doesn't go right most of the time.
So what's the population of cuda like down there? I mean, are you getting a lot of shots?
You, on a good day, you'll get a lot of shots. I know that there was concern with the overall population because it was becoming a big thing where people were spearing them and like taking, you know, boatloads by the tons and selling them, you know, as something else, because we don't really eat Cuda in this country. They have cicatera, which they get from eating like fish that eat the actual coral reef. So that's a sickness that will attack your nervous system and you don't want to deal with it. So no one eats them. But I'm not exactly sure about the whole thing. I've just been kind of told about it. It does seem like the population has kind of gone down since I've been going down there.
And man, when you're fishing for them, you just can't strip the fly fast enough, can you?
Yes. Well, yes and no. I think once I get to that point of really trying to do the Barracuda strip with the rod under your arm and you're going, have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Maybe two or three times ever have I got them when that was happening. I usually get them when I make the occasional good cast that lands off to the, like the side of their head. And on that first long strip, it goes kind of, it like surprises them. And then they like just have an instinctive immediate attack on that first strip. Or they see it and they turn and kind of try to figure it out. And then I strip it away and it's usually 1-2 and it's on. So, and they are, I mean, if a steelhead seems fast to you when it's making its runs, you would love catching a barracuda because I don't know what it is, probably 5 times faster. Half the time you're not even sure if it's still there because it's so far ahead of where you're at with your line.
Do they break water a lot or they basically just staying underneath?
I've seen them jump 7-8 feet into the air. Like a really good barracuda fight can be the best fight in the Keys, to be honest, with the jumps and the runs. And, you know, usually you do land them. A big tarpon, you know, if you get them in the right place and there's not sharks around, you have a good chance of landing them. But a lot of times, you know, it's not imperative for me to land a tarpon just because there are a lot of sharks in some of the areas I fish. So I don't have it in my head that I have to land it. I usually jump them a few times and then just, you know, pop them loose.
Are you fishing IGFA for the tarpons so you can't pop them off?
I always put up, I'm not fishing, you know, for any type of record situation, but I put a break tippet in there so I can do that. Yep. Just do like a foot and a half of bite tippet so that they don't snap off on the hook set. And then a little section of 20 pound that'll snap.
Perfect. We were talking to Captain Jared from Silver Kings 2 weeks ago and he schooled us on IGFA tippets. Something we'd never thought about.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. People get pretty into that whole thing. It's not really kind of what I'm into, but I just put it in there so I can, you know, I love those fish. It bums me out so bad to watch a, you know, 400 pound bull shark just bite them right in half. So, and sadly it does happen more than you'd think.
That's what I was saying. It sounds like that's a pretty frequent or fairly frequent.
Well, once the migration gets to the Keys, you know, those big sharks are with them. I mean, they come with them. So,
how far up inland do they move? Or do they stay still out into the...
You know, most of the time they're not right by the neighborhood where we live. The tarpon will be all over, just depending on where they like to be, or, you know, they don't like being run over by boats constantly. The big sharks usually stay out away from, you know, away from man as much as they can.
Are there any species of sharks that are targetable with the fly rod that you chase while you're down there?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Black tip sharks are like, I mean, you could go on a trip to the Keys and just fly fish for black tips, like in the shallows, and they're hard. You have to really learn their nature. And when you hook them, they're unbelievably sporty. And if you like actually put out like chum and try to get sharks into the boat, then you'll get, you know, lemons and black tips and spinners, which my understanding is that a spinner shark looks just like a black tip, but they'll jump and they spin like, you know,
like the spinner dolphins do, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know how many times they spin, but it's like, it's crazy to see. You get a 90-pound spinner shark. It's it's really interesting.
What kind of flies are you using for them?
Usually, like, I like to have something pretty light, because you kind of when you see a shark up in the water column, up near the surface, he's usually game to eat. If they're down low, it doesn't seem like I get those to bite very often. So I don't put really any weight in it, but you do have to have a wire in front. So that kind of acts like a weight. And then just kind of a feathery, something that looks like a mullet. You know, some people really like to tie them with red feathers. But I find, you know, white or gray or tan or some red in it. It's certainly no pattern that I buy. I have a vise, on the table with a bunch of materials the whole time I'm in Florida, and whatever strikes me on that day, I tie up three of those and bring them out and try them. If they don't seem like they work at all, then I take them back out of the boat. If they work great, then I tie a few more.
Well, you took the question right out of my mouth. We'd talked about your art and we've talked about your fish, and we didn't talk about the fly tying. So that's what I was going to get into. You tie for all the species you target? Fresh and salt?
I really enjoy tying, and obviously I can do it because I've got kind of the hand-eye or the vision, but I'm not a great tier. I'm very utilitarian. I tie what I need. So me and my friends are tiers and, like, literally tie thousands of flies a year, and I look at what they do, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Far cry from that. But I think that's a big part of my personal joy of fly fishing is to see different things. Oh, there's a ton of mullet this year, or needlefish, or whatever I think the fish are focusing on, and to try to tie the fly that'll work for it. You know, does it need a bunch of weight or no weight? Or even with barracuda, it's like, what leader do you use? Do you use like a knotable wire or an actual like strand of just hard wire that you like bend to tie on? They all land differently. And I think that's the big thing, is how it sounds when it lands by the fish. I like as thin of a knotable leader as possible, but they can cut that sometimes.
Do the cudas cut the knotable wire more with than the single strand?
No. The single strand, I haven't really had them cut it. But yeah, they can cut a light, you know, 20 or 15 pound real light, knotable wire leader. But I, you know, it's all about the bite. It's all about the, you know, feeding a fish for me. So if that happens, if over the course of the day I'm able to feed three fish and one of them cuts through, I mean, that's still worth it to me, because if I had that stronger single strand, and it just spooked those fish and I got, you know, one eat and landed it, I don't know. I'd rather feed them. I love to see them grab my fly.
So we have a friend that has a tattoo of one of your paintings on them. Do you get many people that has that happen, or has that?
You know, it's funny. I was at a party in Montana, and this big, burly, tattooed up guy, turns out he owns a tattoo parlor, was at the party, and eventually he started talking to me, and he's like, dude, I do like two or three of your designs as tattoos a week. I'm like, what? I had no idea that that was going on. So I think a lot more than I know about or realize, but a lot of people send them to me, and that's kind of cool to see what they do and what they choose to put on their body. You know, these are not all designed to be tattoos, but if it strikes you, pull it off the website and bring it to your tattoo artist.
You don't have any of your own stuff tattooed on you, do you?
I actually don't have a single tattoo on me, but it's not that I wouldn't, but it just doesn't mean that much to me. I'm more interested in actually making art on canvas than someone else doing something on me, you know? And it would be a little bit difficult to like let go of the reins and let somebody, you know, try to do one of my designs on me. That would take some trust.
Yeah, you'd have to get a Matt Stockton tattoo.
Yeah.
Was that almost
do
a spit take?
For sure.
Speaking of that, how is the art community in Michigan? I know Matt's out there. You're there.
You know, we're separated by some miles, but Matt's coming up and fishing with me this week. So nice. I'm excited to see him and hang out. But I mean, outside of that, I think we have a great kind of fairly close niche relationship with all the artists that, you know, are in Michigan. And I mean, we all can email or call each other and talk about different issues, or if we have questions about something, or even just to get a critique on something that, you know, if a painting isn't kind of coming together the right way. So I really appreciate that. And Matt's such a fun guy to fish with and talk art with. He's so enthusiastic. So it's really, really a cool art community.
You guys are going to be chasing carp?
You know, last time he came, we did some smallmouth and some carp. We'll probably do the same as long as the bite's on. Kind of with me, if it seems like it's not going to happen, I move on to something else. There's always something that will bite that day.
You guys had a pretty wet spring this year too?
Yeah, the water's way up.
Yeah.
I was out a couple days ago and just planned on, I have a little family weekend starts tomorrow, and we just call it bass camp. So I have some friends and family come up and they camp in my yard here on the bay, and we have a friendly little bass tournament on Saturday. So I try to like find areas where there's bass so I can tell everyone, because they don't fish up here. They don't know where the bass are really. So I went just kind of doing a little pre-fishing for that, and thought I hooked a bass and landed a fish, and it was like a 3-pound lake trout, just super colored up and pretty. I'm like, the heck is he doing up in 8 feet of water this time of year? And after catching a few more on a bass lure, I set it down and grabbed my fly rod and threw a clouser out there and managed to catch three or four more on the fly. So, you know, it changes every year. I've never caught a lake trout on fly in June before, but they were up there for some reason.
And didn't you just catch a Cisco?
Yeah, we get Cisco. I mean, Cisco are pretty easy to catch.
Are they?
Pretty plentiful. Right out in front of my house, there's a lot of rock piles in like 12 to 16 feet of water. And throughout June, they're just piled onto those rocks. I don't know that much about them, but I think they're spawning.
So when are we going to get an artistic take on a Cisco?
As soon as I get a client that's amped up to have that on as well.
We're going to be waiting a while.
Same thing with whitefish out west. Everyone's like, how come you don't paint those? You know, we catch those all the time. I'll paint one.
Yeah, that or like a grayling too.
Yeah, grayling are a different story. I mean, people pretty passionately chase those. So I think people would buy that as a painting.
I saw you did do a char too, didn't you?
Yeah, this winter I did a Dolly Varden for a client.
Yep. Yeah, it looked awesome.
I love those things. Those are so cool. I love all the char. I mean, brook trout, I did a trip to Labrador and have you guys ever done that trip up there for the huge brook trout?
That'd be awesome too, but none of us have.
No.
It's insane. First night I got a 7.5 pounder on a dry fly, like in the dark. and we ended up, my biggest one that week was 8.25, but they get them over 10 pounds.
Wow.
Well, that's it.
Jeez.
Only, and the funny thing, like they're just goblins. I mean, they're so fat. They're big all around, but they're not like shaped like a char, like, which is like long and slender. These things are just like, you know, obese.
So what makes that area so productive for the brook trout? Is it the amount of bug life or?
Well, it's the climate, just absolute wilderness. But I think that prior to, you know, development, those big brook trout existed way further down the, into Maine and stuff and all through Canada. But it's just one of those fish that probably gets picked on a lot. And they only exist in really wild places now. You got to take a float plane to get to them.
So it sounds like you do a decent bit of traveling to fish. I mean, other than the obvious from Michigan to Florida, where have you been and what's on the bucket list? Where do you still want to go to?
Oh man, so many places. I've been to some pretty cool spots though. I went with a crew down to Costa Rica a few years ago. They were making a film about tarpon fishing in like strange places. And I think where we went was the strangest place on planet Earth that you could tarpon fish, because these huge tarpon have made it up into this river that they have to go through a huge lake and then end up this river, and you're over 100 miles from salt water and you're catching huge tarpon. Like, did you ever even know that existed?
No. Was this the video that was at the F3T last year?
Yeah. Yep. Atlanticus.
Is that the name of the video?
Yep, that's what they named it. Grant Wiswell.
I think the only other place I saw that was what Jeremy Way did that on one of his shows.
Was that down in Central America?
Yeah, I don't remember the precise location or anything of that nature, but somewhere in Central America, yep.
I've seen it on different TV shows, but it was to actually do it, it was pretty incredible.
And it seemed, I mean, they're massive in there too. I mean, remember what, 150 range plus?
Somehow I had the like baby tarpon thing going. So amongst all the anglers, every fish I hooked was like under 30 pounds. And, there's still a riot. But finally, like second to last day, it was my turn to fish. And we were in a really good spot and there were a bunch of fish feeding there. And this water is so just opaque clay tan. I mean, you can't see, but like 3 inches into it. Barely. And they're like, all right, Derek, your turn. And so I step up to the bow, we're anchored off, and I take the rod, I look at the leader, kind of feel it, make sure there's no nicks, and look at the fly, make sure it's right. and I just toss it in the water, and then I'm just holding on to the rod. And the guy who's running the camera is like, okay, I'm going to come in under your left arm and cast over here. And he's giving me the instruction. Well, as he's giving me the instruction, I feel like a weird tap, like kind of vibrate through the rod. And I'm like half listening to him, but half going, what was that? And I look and my line is going upstream past the boat. So I strip like three big long strips and bring I literally brought the tip of the rod right up the leader. And as I set the hook, they thought that this fish was pushing 175.
Oh my God.
Its head came out of the water. You could just see the fly right in the upper jaw, and it just shakes its head back and forth. I mean, not even close to a jump. Those big fish rarely jump. And the next like hour and 45 minutes were absolute torture. So the really good tarpon anglers can like land these fish surprisingly fast. And we happen to have one of these guys in the boat that he guides in the Keys, and he can get like 150-pound fish to the side of the boat in, you know, under a half hour. Whereas an average person, it would just go on and potentially kill the fish, or potentially it would just, you know, you wouldn't land it. So I'm like, don't be easy on me. Like, coach me, you know, yell at me, whatever you need to do. I want to learn how you do this. And the trick is to just never give him an inch. And if he ever tried to jump or do anything, you need to like punish him for it. So but it punishes you too. Anyway, long story short, he goes right through a log pile. This isn't a normal issue for tarpon fishermen. This is more like what I would deal with, you know, catching a big trout. So we decide it won't come through there. So they cut the line and they're going to splice it. And three of us had a hold of the fly line as they're splicing it. And we're directly connected to the fish. And she's just kind of laying there in the current, like cooperating. And all of a sudden you just feel like her pull. And we were not going to let go. We weren't just going to send her off with a big line on her, you know, following behind her. And all of a sudden the knot popped right at the fly and the fish was gone. And it was very sad, but at the same time, it was one of the coolest fishing experiences I've ever had.
You know, going to
I didn't say fly fishing experiences, because I hand lined that fish. There was no fly casting involved. I threw the fly in and it ate it, and then it was on.
You know, how much different is it from, you know, like you said, your normal water? It's so clear. And what flies are they totally different?
Yeah, you use big, bright or black, you know, bright. Like orange or yellow or big black ones. Yeah. And it was, if you ever get the chance to go do something like that, it's really different than tarpon fishing in the Keys, and really fun. And not to mention that you're seeing howler monkeys and spider monkeys and sloths. And I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff in those jungles.
Well, we've hit up on the places you've been. You still haven't hit. What's the bucket list trip?
I would say for me, I really want to do New Zealand. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a tough place to go for like a week to 10 days. You almost want to extend it to, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. I want to do it right when I do it.
You could do salt and fresh, or just salt water?
No, I'd want to go there and trout fish.
Trout fish, okay.
Yeah, catch big brown trout. That's what I'd want to do when I was there. As far as like a saltwater destination, I did Christmas Island a couple years ago. That was insane.
I think you've cleaned everybody's bucket list.
Labrador,
Christmas Island.
Well, you know, I check a couple off every year. That's the that's the thing. It's like, all right, couple trips a year.
Yeah, and just keep painting.
If you're picking good spots, you know, I usually can get a good discounted price trading some artwork or whatever I need to do. So
the barter system is the best system.
Yeah, I usually fish well above my income. So,
so do you have any fun art projects in the coming down the pike?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of mounts that I got to paint up this summer, and what else is happening? Got a couple designs that I try to do, you know, like two commission paintings and then totally free it up and do something that just comes out of the, you know, left field. And then those are paintings that are, I just add to kind of my body of work that I can sell from my website. But those are usually really different paintings where I don't have to worry about if someone likes them or not. You know what I mean? The person who likes them will find them and buy them versus, you know, if I'm doing a commission, I don't like to be quite as creative because you get too far out there and people might not like it.
So I was introduced to your artwork way back in the day when your website, you get there from Canvas Fish. And
yep.
And the, was it like the four different trout next to each other, like the four different.
Yeah. Colors. Four in one.
Are you still actively painting that series or is that done and gone by the wayside?
No, I still paint those. In fact, that char that you mentioned was a four panel.
Okay.
You know, the world's kind of understanding of what you're doing is so much slower than what you're actually doing that. So I've been doing that now for 15 years, but people are still discovering it for the first time and want it, you know what I mean? And it's just like, musicians, every time they play a gig, they got to play the old standbys. I still have to paint all the old standbys because a lot of people, it's the first time they've ever seen them or they still love that. So, and that's a good thing. I enjoy painting those.
Yeah. It's like when you go see Rush, you have to hear Limelight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So is there anything we haven't hit on that you want to hit on, Derek?
Shoot, I feel like it's been a good conversation.
I think so as well.
You've hit some good topics.
Yes.
So I
landed a couple of bruiser carp today in the pouring rain, which was just super fun and cool. That's about it for today.
So one thing we always ask the saltwater guys in tarpon, what's your favorite? What's a stick to take? What's your rod of choice?
Oh, that's a good question. The saltwater rods are so good now. I mean, if you can double haul, which so many people think they can double haul, and they are very confused as to what that is. because to saltwater fish, for the most part, you have to. So get that down. You've got to be able to fire that line through the wind. But the rods are so good. I am a huge fan of the Orvis. What is it? The Helios. What's the newest one? Three or four?
Yeah, three. And I think they have an S and a D. Is that it?
I use the saltwater one. I mean, when you hit the go button, they fire that line right where you need it. But I use a bunch of different rods too. And I've got like a loop 10 weight that I keep in my boat. And it's funny because 10 weight is the do all rod for bonefish, you'd rather have an 8. For permit, 10. For an adult tarpon, 12. But if you're going to have one rod in your hand, I mean, Cuda, 10 works fine. 10 is the one to have in your hand. And I have a bunch of different 10s. And they all feel different. For close range casting, that loop is so great because it's a slower action. Really, really soft touch and accurate up close. But the Orvis really fires it out there.
So, Derek, there's one more thing I forgot to ask you about. When we post this podcast up, the podcast picture is going to be a picture of you holding a Jack Crevalle and your little puppy dog.
Okay.
Can you get into some jack fishing a little bit? What gear do you use that? 10 weights or?
10 weight. Yep. And okay. So it's one of the absolute most fun fisheries down there but it doesn't happen every year. There's always jacks around, but this year, we had we had jacks come in from the Gulf, and really hang out around the islands, in the backcountry, because they were substantially bigger than I usually catch. And they'll just be roaming around totally calm down by the bottom in deeper water, or you will see them up on the flats too. But on a calm day, I go way up, like up tide, and kill the boat just by myself and throw big poppers on a 10 weight. And I'll just float and throw towards the edge of the channel. And when you find the school, oh my gosh, I don't think there's a better fish on a dry, I don't know if you call a popper a dry fly, but on a popper, they just demolish it. And, on one drift, I might catch 3 or 4 big jacks, but it has to be calm. And every time I try to bring someone, because I'm like, oh, it's so much fun, you got to do this, then it just is, there's weeds everywhere, or it's windy and rough. And so often it just doesn't work out.
And does your
you just got to have the right conditions, which is true for most things.
And does your pup make it out on the boat with you more times than not?
He's a mama's boy. He usually stays back, while, Janelle works in the office, but I get him out, probably every other week. He prefers going on bike rides or on the ATV than to go fishing. But what's funny about him is he gets really excited every fish I catch, and I usually just kind of put it over by him, and he tries to attack it. I actually had a black tip shark, and I'm like just kind of putting the tail by him, and he attacked the tail. I'm like, wow, that might not have been a good idea. You could have made me drop it in the boat. But he'll do the exact same thing to a smallmouth bass. Just he gives them the tooth.
I got a dog that has the same smile. With the one tooth that sticks straight out.
Oh, yeah. Got to give him the tooth.
So, Derek, where can people go and find your stuff?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram. Just my name, Derek D. Young. And then that's my website, too. Try to keep it simple. DerekDYoung.com. I partner with some really good companies that use my art on their products. Able Fly Reels. We're doing coolers with OtterBox out of Colorado. Some really cool stuff with them. We're partnering with Rep Your Water to do a line of hats this year. Those guys are super talented, and they worked with us and developed some really cool hats. So check those out. We do shirts with, I don't know if you could hear Janelle yelled out. She knows everything better than me. Costa Del Mar sunglasses. We do artwork for some of their apparel, and we have another line with them this year. We've been doing buffs for a while now, and they're great. They do such a good job. So check those things out too. Those are great companies.
Heck yeah, man. That's great. And thank you for spending time with us tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Well, absolutely my pleasure, guys. And if you make it up here and the conditions are right, let's go wet a line together.
Absolutely.
He didn't come back too soon. He came back because he felt bad because they weren't doing as well as they could have been against the team. And he's one of the best player on the team. And
he played well.
He shot three threes in a row right in a
played well.
Right in the beginning, he hit three threes. And, he was on fire. He just tried to come off that leg that was injured too much and put too much pressure on it. And
stinks. It does. I mean, because that series has been real heavy on Toronto. But in all reality, I've watched almost all the playoffs this year. This is by far the best they've ever played. They have shot their brains out. They have not shot that well, but very little other than a couple games. Even when they came back and beat Milwaukee, they didn't shoot that good.
Well,
other than game five, in game, was that two or three? Two, when I got pounded. I mean, they're shooting ridiculous.
Yeah, quite. I mean, throughout the whole playoffs, Kawhi's been playing nuts. I mean, he's had a few. I mean, like you said the other day, it's been a little. His consistency.
Game one through three, you could tell. Was he a little hurt or something?
But he still scored enough and did enough. He gets these rebounds in like certain situations when they need the one rebound. And God, does that guy just steal rebounds? I mean, at his size. Mm-hmm. But I like about going back to the Durant thing. Even beyond air, I was like going on about it. Like this is like. People constantly on athletes are, they just, they baby themselves, so blah, blah, blah. You know, and like kudos to him for actually trying to come back a little bit because, I mean, he's going to be a free agent next year. He's waiting to sign a giant contract. Doesn't have to come back at all. Could just say, hey, to hell with it. You know, I'm going to go get a contract, play somewhere else, blah, 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 and be done. But, a guy like him actually just wants to go out there for his teammates. You know what I mean?
And that's a rarity. People got to think about is us out of shape, half fat people, don't know exactly what our body feels like. He does. He knows when he's ready or not. He knows every little bit, and that's just.
I think just the pressure of the media, the situation, the everything of can he come back? Can he come?
Dire situation. That was it. Loser go home, or winner go home.
Wow, poor guy. So I feel bad.
I have not watched a single. Second of this, what's the series sitting at now?
3-2
Toronto. Yeah.
The Splash Brothers hit a couple big threes down the stretch of the last game.
Clay played real well last game.
And can I ask you guys a question?
But Durant's unstoppable, and he can get his shot at 15 foot or around any, just like Kawhi Leonard can. He can go and get a mid-range jumper and hit what feels like 85% of them.
At least.
Anytime he wants, he can get to his spot,
stop
rise
anywhere
up
anywhere around the free throw perimeter, and just boom, done.
Done. What was your question?
Neither of you guys have cable. How do you watch this?
I have cable.
Oh, I have it through the sling, through the internet.
Is there an app?
No. What they do is for the NBA playoffs, ESPN3 airs it, and that's like the channel's off all day. Then right at game time, it kicks on, or the pre-game it kicks on, and the game kicks on.
Well, you can watch the NBA finals on ABC. If you have.
Yeah, I mean, if you have something of that nature, but I don't have local.
My rabbit ear's even broke. So.
On Sling, it kicks on ESPN3 right at game time.
Okay. Back when I used to watch the NBA, it was always on TNT and DBS.
They do the playoffs on TNT still.
I mean,
back and forth, ESPN.
I don't know how we got off on this, but I watched a lot of basketball growing up. And what really killed it for me, and I like Shaq, but was that era. It was just dumping into the big man, dunk it. Dumping into the big man, dunk it. And, I just quit watching basketball after that. When everybody's like, you really got to pay attention now because it's completely different. And
sure.
It's changed a lot. In the last couple of years, I got back into watching.
7-foot guys all have to be able to shoot a three-pointer now.
Yeah,
everybody on the team has to be able to shoot a three-pointer damn near.
I mean, there was that period for 10 years that your 7-foot guys were just slamming and dunk. Now these guys are so athletic. They're shooting from three. They're driving from the back. It's ridiculous.
If Embiid played 10 years ago, there is no way in hell that dude needs to be behind the three-point line shooting a three, right?
Correct.
Joel Embiid.
He's
7 foot one. He's giant. He's 280-some pounds.
They're going to put him right in the paint every time, throw it in, dunk.
Patrick Ewing. Maybe a little bit better shooter because they do just the range he has. And he shoots threes and not that terrible at it. I mean, for a giant dude. And everybody, all of them.
So one more thing, getting back to podcasting. Listen to Shaq's podcast. That motherfucker is funny.
He is funny.
Hey, Jake, will you shut that door?
Yes, I will.
My mom's out mowing grass now. So we get a little bit of background.
She needs
noise.
To go do mine because that's what I was doing when you guys called me.
That's why you didn't answer while we were on air.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, funny thing is it was tying that got me back in the basketball a lot.
Was it?
Yeah, because I could sit and it was watch it on the screen through winter. So I just take the tablet, throw it on the sling, and sit and watch and tie.
I love it. I do. I like most sports, but college basketball would be my first sport to watch. But, I mean, I like the NBA. I watch it. I'll sit. I haven't watched this. I haven't watched the whole game from beginning to end throughout the NBA Finals. I've watched a bit of it. I'll keep up with all the stats and stuff, but I just haven't had time. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to watch the whole game now.
Oh, yeah. Should be a good one.
NHL's at Game 7 also, isn't it?
Tonight. Yeah, at 8 o'clock. Yeah. The Bruins versus St. Louis. Yeah.
The Blues.
I listen to Bob and Tom every morning. I think you guys do, too.
I know you do.
I do not.
Did you hear
Josh?
Just kidding, Josh. That was great.
Yeah. Josh is a real big Blues, St. Louis Blues fan, and, you know, like diehard. That's like his diehard team, you know. He's in it. He's probably on the edge of his seat right now.
I hope the Blues win, just because.
Oh, sure.
Being a Pens fan, I hate the Bruins.
I don't know. I think Boston does need to have a championship come to town.
What?
They don't get anything, you know?
No, no championships.
They don't get any championships in that town. They do need it, you know?
Tom Brady's been the nine. And in that same time, what, they've probably won a few baseball, basketball.
They've won two World Series.
They haven't won a basketball in...
Since Paul Pierce and KG. Yeah. I mean, it's not been too long.
Yeah, that's town
been 10
needs
years
it.
Plus.
Mm, yeah, I mean, it's still, though. I mean,
yeah.
They have a decent team now if they can keep a couple people around. I mean, even young if they don't, keeping the youth, but... All right, so are we going to talk about some fishing?
We can do some fishing talk. I'm
sorry,
sure.
I was just being passionate about KD and, like I said, how he actually decided to come in a game, and most guys would have just been like, oh, to hell with it. You know what I mean? That's a rarity to see nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah.
You only see that in tight ends in the NFL. Those are the only guys who don't give a shit, get hurt.
Yeah, they're fullbacks.
And they don't give a hell what happens. They could have a broken leg, and they're like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to kill somebody.
Unless you're Gronk, then you retire.
Oh, well. But he played hurt a lot.
Yeah.
I can't even believe Jay Novacek is coming back off. He's gonna play.
Jay Novacek.
I went way back on the Cowboys. Jason Witten. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jay Novacek's coming back.
That's going way back to the 90s.
Yep.
When they were playing your Niners.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, Witten. How are that guy? I mean, geez, I bet just after sitting in the booth and almost killing yourself or killing everybody who had to listen, I guess.
I need to get back out there and hit someone.
Oh, that's where he belongs.
Yep.
Your body probably feels good after you sit around for a year or two and just work out and don't have to get pounded on.
Yeah, he'll probably 40, 50 balls. Block well. Yeah. 700-800 yards, 7-8 touchdowns.
He's a good security blanket.
But he'll also be there to teach. And
You know,
it's good to have all that experience there.
So.
Yeah.
You took your wife and your daughter... On a trout float that we haven't got to talk about.
Yeah, there was so much to talk about last weekend. We went for a while, and we had fun. I was surprised. Me and Abby, you know, we were able to take the boat off, put the boat in by ourselves, you know, because we have my daughter with us. You know what I mean?
You mean Riley didn't help?
No, she didn't help, but she carried some stuff to the boat. But it was funny because, you know, sometimes when you grab the handles on the boat, like, they can dig into your hands just a little bit. Or, like, you know, the rubber around it, like the bump guard. And I picked the thing up, and I'm, you know, she's got it. We're walking it down all these rocks, and I'm like, oh, man, it's, like, digging in my hand really bad. If the guys were here, I'd just say, hey, can we set it down real quick? And I didn't want to look like a sissy in front of my wife, you know. So I'm just, like, gutting it out, and, like, things, like, digging in my hand. And I'm like, I just needed to just reposition my hand. I've been fine, but I'm just, like, holding it out. I'm like, she's going to tell me to set it down first. And finally, I'm like, we got to set it down. All the way down, like right ready to put it into the water. So it was funny right off the start. There was Memorial Day, so And we got rained out that Sunday.
Does she talk as much trash to you on the boat as we do?
Oh, absolutely. No. It was fine. she was good. She had fun. I had her throwing a Rapala all day. Then Riley started killing him on Joe's fly, so then she switched.
So give me what that little girl has.
Right off the bat, we saw guys there. There were a few guys fishing. One guy, actually, we rode down by him, and he looked like he knew what he was doing.
Why'd you? Because he had a fly rod?
Oh, no, yeah. And I'd already seen him pick on two fish, like, quickly. He had a fish on as I was going down, and I watched him as we were putting in. I saw him have one on. And, yeah, we'd sat and talked for just a half second, you know. He was a real nice guy. When I went behind him, and a couple other guys were up above me, or up above where I put in at, and there was a lot of people out there. But everything, we went down through past him right off the bat, just below him. We gave him a little bit of space because we're going to cover so much water that I know he's going to want to walk down through. So we probably went down, I don't know, 300 yards or so at least, maybe even further.
That's a lot of space.
I mean, we're getting stuff ready. My wife, and what happens is, like, within the first 10 minutes, nothing could be going right. I mean, she's already snagged in the tree. And, I mean, it's one of those, like, we're going through a nice little current, boom, like, whoa, okay, snap, there goes a Rapala right away. There's a $7 Rapala right away. And I'm like, ugh, that hurts. So, and then as we're speaking, like, Riley is, like, waving her rod around in the air, and boom, it's in a tree. Now, bam, there goes another, there's $3 for a Joe's fly. So, at this point, you know, we're down $10 within the first 20 minutes of the float, and I'm like, oh my god, all right, child, we're gonna retie. Everybody's gonna get their new stuff going.
And nobody's gonna throw in trees.
You, child, are not going to fish unless we're stopped, and we're gonna stop plenty. And it was nice, the creek was nice and low. It was super low, so it was optimal for her to be there. You could jump out and she could run around in the low spots.
How cold was the river? Was she able to get wet? And
oh, we were wet wading
and not be uncomfortable.
Yeah, we were wet wading. It was great. It was a hot day. Creek wasn't that cold. I mean, it was cold, but, I mean, a kid jumps in a pool at, 65 degrees and doesn't care. Their teeth are chattering.
Not this pool.
Oh, I know, not here, but I'm just saying in general, kids don't care. They jump in a pond right now and don't care if it's cold or not. But
when you go fishing with your wife, is it more organized? Like, does she bring snacks and treats and bottles of water and not so many beers? And
No, we had a couple beers with us. We had a few waters with us.
We had a six pack and a go-gurt.
Same shit you're used to, Chad. No, she did. We already had lunch already made.
Did Jay make the go-gurt?
That's messed up.
No.
No, she did. We had lunch already packed, you know. So we made our sandwiches, had all of our snacks. No, we did. And it was cool. We stopped. I wanted to, you know, show them the, you know, Riverside lunch and do the whole thing like we would do ourselves. And, you know, I took gentlemen's breaks and had to go pee by myself, you know, two girls in the boat, right? You know, so.
They don't just hang it over the side like we do?
Mm-mm. Well, so this was funny. Well, we were catching fish. Right off the bat, we were catching fish. We stopped. Creek chubs were all over the Joe's flies. You know, we'd stop periodically, and I'd get Riley out. We'd stand, you know, right next to her if she'd hold my leg, in one of the spots she was fine to stand by herself. So we had her cast, and she caught one little. I mean, God, probably had a 7-8 inch rainbow, all by herself, casting and everything. And a lot of them, I was just, if I was catching a fish, I'd give it to her, or you know, usually if I knew I could get her a fish hooked, I'd cast to the area where I knew the fish would be, and just as soon as the thing hits the water, just click bail, make sure, boom, reel, you know, and she peeling fish. So it was fun. We got to catch them onto the boat, not off the boat, you know what I mean? Either way, but Ab hooked up to a little brownie, tiny little brown, and I got a nice rainbow myself, and I couldn't get to her. She was standing by Abby. And Abby gets weird about, you know, waiting in the water. She's got a life jacket on. What are you worried about?
And she'll bobble.
What is she going to do? Like, she's going to hit her ass. Tell her. She might. She should have a pad on her butt. Because when she slips on one of these rocks and hits another one on her butt, she's going to be hurting.
My dad always told me if you drown with a life jacket on, we get refunded our money back.
Exactly. I'm like, she's fine. Let her be. I'm like, go over to walk over to that area, you know. And, oh, no, no. You better go with her. She's fine. But the one bigger fish, it was a good-sized rainbow. It was peeling me, dude. I thought it was a brown at first. I'm like, oh shit.
On a spinning rod?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, on a Joe's fly. I took fly rod. I had a fly rod with me. Oh, I saw a couple big ones. Saw a nice 20-inch fish at least. And a big rainbow sitting right next to it. And, dude, they're just looking at me. And I'm looking at them. And I threw everything I had in the boat at them. I threw Apollos at them. I threw spinners at them. I threw Joe's flies at them. I threw every fly I had at them.
Too bad you didn't know how to dry fly fish at that time.
I don't know. They were keen to what was happening.
He forgot about that already.
What?
What?
I know how to dry fly fish?
Was that before?
You said it was Memorial
Day.
That
was before all that.
I know. Yeah, that's why I said too bad you didn't know how to dry fly fish.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it, or I might have been able to. No, they wouldn't have done anything. They knew that a guy actually came down, and he goes, now that's the way to travel, you know, because nobody sees this. Not many of those out there, you know.
I've never seen a person there. All the times we floated it.
Well, we always go in shit conditions for wading.
Dead in the winter.
Well, I've seen the same two kayakers fishing down through there now for a couple different weeks. They recognized me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, we seen you a couple weeks ago. Remember? You don't remember? I'm like, oh, I mean, you guys move so much faster. They move right past us, you know, down at the lower end of the float. And they seem like they're more kayaking than they are fishing, but they do have fishing gear with them.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Well, it was a good float. And we got the takeout was fine. Everything went, we went through the old holes. And that's where I caught that bigger rainbow. It was right at that. Right at the tree stump there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On you know how you used to be able to turn around and catch fish behind you?
Uh-huh.
If you're, like, standing on that sandbar out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were in the hole. We were standing above all that.
Okay.
But that was the first spot I ever seen a wild brown out of there. But, yeah, that spot, we also, that's where Chad and I, you know, used to go all the time.
Where I pooped my pants.
Yeah, that's where, that's where he pooped his pants, dropped his phone in the water, and broke his reel all in one day.
Oh, wow. That was a bad day.
You got a grand slam.
I did. I had a hat trick of shit. Literally.
I'm over there. That was shortly after, the starts of our fly fishing, probably a few years. A few years.
I was spin fishing then because I dropped the top of my drag.
Was it?
Yeah. It was the screw on top to a drag of a spinning reel that I dropped in the water and gone forever. So we weren't I wasn't fly fishing that day.
And I know the phone was a flip phone. They had to, you know, so that had to be a long, that was before phones were.
Was it a flip phone or was it one of the Nokia bricks?
I thought it was a flip, like an old school flip.
Yeah.
Like not even like one like, of the, like not even like the razor or
before
anything.
Before the razor. Yeah. Yeah, like, pre-razor.
Yeah, like piece of poop. But yeah, that was an amazing day. I was like, I never think, I almost fell in the water because I was laughing my ass off so hard.
Speaking of.
And peeling fish.
Speaking of amazing day, you have no idea, like when you shart yourself and that early in the morning, how bad you get chap ass.
Oh, I'm surprised you just going to go dunk your ass in the water and just.
I think I did.
Bidet it off somehow.
It was so cold, man.
Oh, it was cold. First day of trout time. You know, that's not warm yet.
No. You're still low 40s.
I tried my best, but.
That's horrible.
But we went down. We did good there and then went down through, did good in another spot. And then the tree was down. There's that one tree down. It's way up higher.
Uh-huh.
Man, Abby and I we wrecked right through it. She was perfect, dude. We went right, stop, put down, reposition, pick up, move. Just like we would. She did good. I was like, once I saw all that, I'm like, all right, we can. I didn't want to drag her up the hill, so I didn't want to take her on the lower end. And it's a little easier up on top. You can wade easier. But once we got past all that stuff and everything passed down all what we used to fish through and all that, and we went down even below that, and there was a little spot. I'm like, Abby, pissing around and just 6 inches of water. has her pole in there, just not paying attention. Boom, she gets snagged up. I'm like,
you're done. You're done.
Well, it was to get over to that 6 inches, you had to actually wade through something that was kind of like, so I was like, no, we're stopping here. Me and Riley are going to fish this opposite end because that hole kind of started going out. I'm like, you're going to wade up to go and go get that.
Your punishment is you have to watch us.
You know, you have to wade up and go get your snag out. So she's, you know, I'm getting out, kind of getting everything ready and, you know, looking, and I'm like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to fish this. I walked over to him, like, all right. So I'm about, and at this point, Abby's already up in like the current and stuff. And, she's in some decent current, and it's probably up to her knees, you know, but pretty swift, and she's getting all frustrated. I don't know if I can, and Riley's, mom, sit down, shut up. Like, I never heard my wife snap so quick. I'm sitting there, about fell back in the water, laughing again. Oh, I was loving it. Oh, it was amazing. So I go grab Riley, walk her back down to that hole, and it was awesome. We cast in first one. She hooks this fish, and it goes, it comes off.
Whoop!
And sorry about that. And the next, so then we're still fishing that same hole, and she hooks another fish, and it immediately, as it's being hooked, like it jumps. I mean, it jumps like clean out of the water, and it's not from me to you away, which is probably 3 or 4 feet right in front of her face. I mean, this thing just jumps probably 12 inches out of the water.
Give her a good show.
Oh, man. She just looked over and you just seen the enjoyment, you know, and just, oh, mom, she looks over like, ah, it's on the reel, and just looking up like, oh, yeah, you know, like a fish just right in front of her face. And
you're like, real.
That was like the last moment she has of, you know, like the fishing that day, and fishing was good that day. So, but like, another thing about the enjoyment thing, I think I explained to you guys the one just a couple weeks ago was, give me 1 second. My wife's camera, it takes like a lapse time picture.
Yeah, and you know, it moves.
When you so when you take the picture, it gives you like a 3 second video of yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. To it gives like a 3 second video, and I didn't get to see the clip like when it was, or you know, I got to see the pictures and what was happening. So then she shows me the video of Riley, that first little trout she'd caught up in the upper end. Me and her were just standing in the water and, you know, netted it, and it's in the net. So I'm like picking up out of the net. I'm looking down at the fish, so I can't see anything else. I'm like looking down to grab the fish and see if I can control the fish. One little hand, you know, it's a tiny little thing. But, you know, and put it up in front of her, and I was going to let her hold it or whatever, even if not, just throw it away. But you could just see the enjoyment in that little 3 second clip beforehand of like when I was picking the fish up out of the net, and like I'm glad I got to look at that, and that I'm glad her thing has that video, because like my kids, like she was like squeezing her fist and like trembling and just such like, you know, like eagerness to see this fish she just caught. So that, like, you know, tickles me pink. I'm glad she loves to be out there. She wanted to stop more, but you know, as much as you're stopping as much as you can in spots where she could still get out. But we'll probably go there in the summertime a little bit here and there, and, you know, piss around or whatever. Maybe try to get her on some smallmouth floats where we can cast some gear a couple times here and there. I told him I'd take him out once a month.
There you go. That's a, you know, a good deal to have with you.
Helps her to have some appreciation for the boat. My wife, not appreciation, but, you know, like, okay, I didn't just, you know, we were just buy this for nothing.
This
for me.
This isn't just for Jay.
Yeah, exactly. So she can have some fun on it too. I tried to teach her to row. Wow. Whew. We got to work on it. She was not quite as bad as PJ, but pretty close right at first. I'm just messing
around.
She
didn't row that time, you were Jace?
Yeah, she did. But, you know, it's a little easier to row there. And it's just, you know, in the smaller creek, you know, lower water, it's tough. There are rocks everywhere. You know, you're bumping stuff
a lot faster.
Yeah, and it's faster. So, you know, like,
yeah,
I said,
you got a back row there. The other one, all you got to do is front row, really.
Yeah,
except for a couple spots.
The wind's more of the problem, you know what I mean, in our local, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you get on them bigger spots, and it'll just, the wind will kind of blow you around.
Speaking of our local, this has been a disappointing year for it. I'm telling you, we've yet to. Well, I floated it one day with buddies of mine on their Smith, and that day stunk. But it has been blown.
I've fished it a couple times from shore and wade fished it and done relatively well when you can get into it. But when you can't, it's.
The day we went out, we had fun.
You can get in.
Yeah.
That was the only time we, that was like the little window we had. We had one day or a few days to
Wednesday.
It
was a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was raining the next day.
And you were like, we have to, that's what we did in after work because we had no other option. If not, you don't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had to hit it yet. I've done the upper a little bit, but not there.
I'm taking my wife musky fishing on Monday. So
lake, river?
Lake in my boat. So last time we went there, it was windy as hell.
You can take my boat if you want.
I know, but I want her to row. And
I mean, if you're just saying if you want. Because we're done Saturday night fishing. I can have the batteries charged. Let me know.
Yeah. I don't know. I like my boat because I can pile the back seat full of toys. Mm-hmm. And then my son can just play and do whatever he wants.
Yeah, that is convenient.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let her row. And I got my anchor fixed so it can deploy easily, and we can both fish. So
what was wrong with your anchor?
The PVC that went down under the floor was split.
Mm.
So the anchor rope would get wedged in that split, and I cut it out, and I glued on a new piece of conduit, and I doubled it up there so it doesn't split again.
Sweet.
So I preventative maintenanced it. And I got cleaned out. It's ready to go. And my wife's going to burn.
Did you wash the blood out of it?
No. You keep asking that. No. The answer's still no.
She washed the blood out of it.
I don't have a drain plug, so it's a giant pain in the asshole if I spray water in it.
True.
You know what I mean? Because I
get that false. It's all aluminum, right?
It's all aluminum. I get that false floor. So if I spray water in it, it sits underneath the wood.
We can just turn it over one day.
I know, but it's a giant pain in the asshole.
A word. I don't want to do it. Not if it's a pain in the ass, but I would if you asked.
I know. You guys helped me get it off last year when I had to get my trailer inspected. Remember the trailer slid down the hill?
Oh, yeah, now I do.
It was up in the rafters?
Yeah, now I do. Yeah. Things I forget all of it.
That was a funny thing too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Do you guys have any Father's Day fishing plans?
We're going on Saturday before, so I don't have to go on Father's Day. I think I'm just gonna kick it with the fam.
Hopefully it's not all chocolate by then.
I think I'm gonna take my son to the little creek that used to run that still runs behind my old house, and I'm gonna float minnows under a bobber.
Word.
And try to get him to a little creek smallmouth. You know what
all
I mean?
Day.
Yeah. Because we'll only have an hour or so before the car show. So that's all we'll need. That's all he'll have attention span for.
Yep, that'd be cool.
Hell yeah. That's what's up. I don't have any plans other than that. I hope I hook something nice with Mark.
Yeah. Hopefully some stripers will go.
Mm-hmm.
A little evening into the early dark and take off.
If not, we just go early and chuck for some muskie.
That lake has been producing them recently. Mike, that you've been fishing with a lot, Jack, his uncle has been catching them while walleye fishing.
That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he said he got 3 last year's bycatch.
Dang. That's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And they all seem to be like that good middle size, too.
Yeah, like upper 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
that's something we really haven't ever focused on. We have the ability to. We drive down there to fish, you know, everything else. Why not?
I know.
Yeah,
it's starting to think to drive about something else down there, too. We were talking about, and man,
the smallmouth factory.
Need some new smallmouth water.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I hate seeing shopping carts. I'm going to start exploring what's close enough to my house. It's not going to be a pain in the ass.
You don't like seeing shopping carts? I love the urban atmosphere.
I don't. I like seeing mountains and hills and pretties and
pretties,
you know, and deers and all kinds of different shit.
I got Mary Poppins over here.
You're not damn right. I want to see nature. I don't want to see a hood rat. You know what I mean? Throwing a goddamn catfish from 30 feet off a bridge and it splashes into water like a body right next to us. No, I don't want to see that, Chad. I don't. You know, I will go there and I'm not going to not fish there this summer, but I mean, if we could add in one more nice smallmouth float or few that are only, you know, within the 45-minute to an hour range, we should. Agreed.
Those hood rats throwing that catfish made that float. Just so you know.
The shit show of us actually catching that striper.
The hybrid.
Was ridiculous. We told that story, but oh, it stuck on everything. But oh, that was great, those kids. Oh, man. And the way he said it, like the way when he talked to us, like what, I mean, I'm not, you know, Captain Language or, you know, English grammar major or anything like that. But Jesus, dude, did this kid sound it. He was West Hill, for sure.
Oh, he was West Hill born and bred.
Oh, man. We have some unique ones around our local.
Oh,
it's almost worth going just for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that does. That's kind of a downer on that stretch through there.
What do you mean a downer? Someone chucked a fucking catfish at us. That's a positive in my book. That was the funniest thing that's happened this whole fishing season.
So far.
That is a valid point, though. That is the funniest thing that has happened.
Yeah, Mark and I got... I mean, the cops obviously don't care if you go over Lowhead Dams.
No.
Apparently not, because they knew, well, they're not going to get out of the water before
From
that
where
one.
He was sitting, he could see us, he could see the buoy, and there was no going back up to where he was. Got your life jackets? Yep. Okay.
See ya.
Later.
Good luck. Actually, he said good luck.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Okay, we'll go right past these caution buoys. One second.
Well, me and Chad went over to that day.
That had to be rough.
Oh, there's my a new tree God,
down.
Dude.
There's a new tree down.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. Dude, so I'm standing underneath it.
How deep is it?
Well, it was flowing that day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm standing underneath, and, like, I barely have any footing. Like, barely have any footing on this ground. As soon as the boat hits me in the gut, dude, I just, like, climb onto the boat. Because it just took me away with it. I'm like, lower it down to me, Chad.
And I, you can't stop it.
No.
After it goes over the dam, you can't stop it because then it fills up with water if you do. So I let it go. I tried to make it go as slow as possible.
Yeah. So I just climbed up in it and just started rowing right away. It was a unique experience, and then Chad got blown right down through it. Never even got to see it.
I kept you guys on a line for
five. Hey, it doesn't matter.
For fucking five
miles. It didn't matter. We saw one anyway.
Would that left side current get you or zero?
It was fucking blowing.
He just didn't let it get up and close enough to where the eddy would suck you back up.
Yeah.
If you don't play back and forth inside the eddies, because once you get into one of the currents, it's going to push you. And if you're not close enough to the eddy to get it to the spot where you can get pulled back up a little bit and get a slack water, it was high enough to where it was done. No, over.
It was game over.
Yeah, you're gone.
But you're gone.
Yep. I got nothing else. What are you doing? You're not fishing anytime soon?
I just got done talking about two days coming up here.
I got 2 days in a row.
Musky.
It's supposed to storm all day tomorrow.
Yep. Dude. Musky.
Go get one, man.
I want to.
What are you going to throw? That ugly ass
this big
fly right there?
Purple. It looks like a full erection with a little spot at the top.
Yeah, with mold on the head.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw this fly. I have a black one that's just like this, but way
bigger,
way sparser. And then I'm going to throw this... This, what's it called? A pole smoker from Jeff Faulkner.
Okay, the pole smoker's probably going to get smoked. Your pole won't get smoked, but that will.
I know.
I like that. That's a nice fly, man.
It is. You took the black one?
Your fly is very pretty, too.
You took the black one?
I don't know. I must have.
And Mark took the chartreuse and purple?
Yeah.
The Buzz Lightyear? So, yep, that's my game plan. And I'm going to get some... Bucktails and have my wife try to burn them.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Man.
That little girl can cast a bait caster.
She with the big big bait caster?
Yeah. What?
So do you want the big bait caster?
No, she's perfectly fine with my flipping stick.
Do you, man, dude, do you want any other lures or rods or anything? Or just lures in general? I have them big, nice wooden ones, too, that go about yay far underneath the water.
The creek chubs.
Yeah. If you want one.
We'll see. I have to see what I have. Yeah. Let me take inventory tonight, and then I'll let you know.
Yeah, those work, man. I like the movement on them things. They just kick, bam, bam, bam.
And they get the real slow side-to-side wobble. Mm-hmm. Wobble, wobble, wobble. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know anything about the gear side of it, but I know I have some big Rapalas, and I have a couple, like, jerk baits and shit. Suwik I have, but...
You're not going to get her to launch something that's just monstrously giant either, you know what I mean?
No.
So, I mean, no. Even, like, dude, you got Husky Jerks, man, and something like that would be great, too.
Yeah, I have, like,
a nice rattle in it.
I have, like, an 8-inch Husky Jerk.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, it's orange with the black bars on the side of it. But if I'm going to have her throw that, I'm going to have her throw the Suwik. Just bop, bop, bop. And it has the lip on the front and back. So when she jigs it, it, like, kind of, it wobbles and goes backwards. The Suwiks are pretty cool. And that's more of a natural color bait that I have.
Sweet. Yeah, that's what's up, dude.
So.
Yep.
I hope I get send you guys pictures of her holding a big muskie and not me.
Dude.
I was thinking about that last night when I crawled into bed at 8:30.
You need to teach Nolan to row.
I'm going to.
Well, what I mean, are there any smaller species of fish you could, like, you know...
There's crappie in there.
Can you go have him jigging for crappie or something?
I think. I'm going to try. I'm going to...
Or a little spinner, something like that. Tiny spinners.
He likes throwing to Joe's flies.
Say, it will work.
So. But I was thinking about that last night when I crawled in bed about 8:30. I was like, I have to teach her how to hold a muskie before, like, we go there. I have to give her, like, a rundown of where the safe spots are to put your hands and where is not.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bass.
No.
No.
Ash loves bass fishing. I could see her just going for a thumb in the lip. That's not going to be a good thing to do. So.
Yeah, only take one time to learn that.
Personally, I mean, I know a lot of guys like to, like, grab, like, up underneath the gill, depending on how large the fish is. I'm always a big, I like the tail grab and just slide up underneath their belly.
With her, I'm gonna teach the under the gill method because there is a perfect hand hold.
Oh sure, oh yeah, right, yeah, up, yeah, under, yeah. There is. Oh, it's no, I'm not saying it. I do that too, but you know, if I can pull them out of a net, I just grab them by the tail and slide them up. You know what I mean? It feels more. I don't know, for me, it feels like I have a better.
See, anytime I went to pull them out of a net, I go straight for the gill plate.
Yeah,
or not the gill plate, but like the base of their jaw. Like right in the middle, I'm holding my finger under my chin.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone knows, it's hard to describe it. But that's right where I go when I pull them out of the net, and then I slide my hand back from there, like to under the belly.
Yep. Now if I'm waiting, then yeah, I go right for the tail grab.
But yeah, the under the belly grab, way better in pictures. Looks way better in pictures. The gill plate hold I think is way better for.
Big. The fish.
Like security.
Yeah. Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah. No, there is. Too. Yeah. If you get up, you're.
I mean,
yeah,
you're, if you're 40, you're 40 and under, you're good with the tail. You start getting up over
that's what
in
I
the
mean,
mid 40s. I mean, you're just, they're hanging over, their belly's all smashed up, and it's no. Get them by the gills and hold them right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying on those smaller fish.
Yeah,
definitely.
Smaller
but
fish
no, if you've got a big,
yep,
big, big fish, now you have to, because then you have more control. Yep. Then you have, like, you want to have room. You want to have good control.
You don't want to flop it in the bottom of the boat.
Exactly. Oh, hell no.
Yeah. It's bad for the fish. It's bad for your toes.
Yeah. Bad for everything.
Yeah. And then the blood in my boat's not going to be the only issue.
You know, if you want a good tutorial on how to hold a e-sox.
Pete Mania.
Last week's.
A Pogo Pike.
Yeah.
Well, last
check
week's
that
guest.
One, too, from Pete Mania.
That's great.
And Pogo.
Yeah.
So, hey, on that note, do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Yeah, covered.
All right, boys.
BLT.
Tonight's show brought to us by Predator Fly Gear. Check them out, predatorflygear.com.
Yep. You get your hooks, arexhooks.com.
Sims Fishing, simsfishing.com.
Go check out some of Joel's new feathers. They'll be in about a month, let's say.
Yeah, I'd say probably if not sooner.
If not sooner. And where you can check Joel's feathers out is at urbanflycompany.com.
Yeah. Check out the doc on Why Not Fishing. Did you forget about music again?
No. Yeti. Built for the wild, man.
Same OG, but I've been low-key, hated on by most these niggas with no cheese, no deals and no G's, no wheels and no keys, no boats, no snowmobiles and no skis. Mad at me, cause I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries. Got a crib with a studio and a saw full of tracks, to add to the wall full of plaques, hanging up in the office and back of my house like trophies. Did y'all think I'ma let my dough freeze? Hold please, you better bow down on both knees.
Did you have this CD, Mark?
No?
Easy E's, Ice Cube and D.O.C.'s, the Snoop deal of G's,
and a group that said, motherfuck the police. Gave you a tape full of dope beats to bump when you stroll through
your hood.
And when your album sales wasn't
doing too good, who's the doctor that told you to go see?
Y'all better listen up closely. All you niggas that said that I turn pop or the fur flop. Y'all are the reason that Dre ain't been getting no sleep. So fuck y'all.
All y'all. If y'all don't like me, blow me.